Hello, America. Bill Martinez back with you 6 minutes after the top of the hour. And with us right now is the author of the book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. And it's absolutely critical, to take a look at what is going on and what Bruce Thatcher has done. He's done us a great favor. I mean, he studied many, nations, countries before historically to see what does the successful immigration plan look like? And in reading this book, you can clearly see how America, and particularly a body of government, is become out of order and has really messed up the whole concept of immigration and how to produce a successful immigration policy. Bruce, good morning. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bill. It's great to be here.
Well, I appreciate all the hard work that you put into this, because this has been a challenge that I've had, for quite a number of years. Of course, being of Hispanic descent, we were very, very fortunate. In fact, my grandparents migrated from Mexico, through Texas at the turn of the 20th century in the early 1900s, they were escaping all the craziness going on in Mexico at the time with Pancho Villa and the revolution going on. And my grandparents came in and they secured their immigration for one penny. That's what it cost them.
That's amazing.
One penny. And of course, it was an incredible, success story with my grandma. My grandfather was a butcher, and so he was able to, get work easily and very effectively. And then my grandmother was a seamstress and, ended up at one point doing all the seamstress work for WTG Grants in Los Angeles, the window dressings, and then that got her some attention from some celebrities. So she did a lot of, finishing work on, bedding for the celebrities and that. So it was quite a history. But in fact, my grandmother lived to be 100, just short of 102 years.
So. That's amazing. Your grandparents came to America when coming here was a lot simpler than it is today. Immigrants who want to come to this country now, particularly if they want to try to get in on the very limited economic preferences that exist, very typically may have to spend thousands of dollars and wait years to get here. And that's one of the indicators of the dysfunction of our current system, is it is so complex and so convoluted that we have some categories where it seems like immigrants just stream in, and we have other categories which it would seem we would want to encourage, and we make it really, really difficult for immigrants to come here to this country.
Well, part of this premise, too, with the DREAM Act and what President Obama has been doing, the big issue I've had, Bruce, is that, like you say, it's convoluted. It's not very well thought out. It's not a win-win proposition, for the immigrants as well as for this country. There's so many holes in it, and it's more to advance a political ideal. And basically what it boils down to is a kind of a modern-day beholding, and almost soft slavery kind of concept, because you get, you offer entitlements, you offer benefits, to a group for what? For their vote and for their control. And this is what, the immigrants, are giving up in the process. And I have a huge problem with this issue. And this is like one of those things that are just kind of accepted. And when I speak to other Hispanic groups and have the opportunity to do that, I say, look, you got to be careful what you're giving up here in the process. And you have to be a lot smarter about what you're getting, from the government and what it is that they're offering, for the sake of your vote and, for control.
Most may be too strong, but a very large portion of the rhetoric coming out of Washington is focused on the political implications of whatever somebody's proposing. Will it help the Republicans? Will it help the Democrats? And second from that is focused on what are the concerns of illegal immigrants who are currently in the country, the undocumented. It ought to be focused, in my opinion, on what is serving the nation's interests. And I think that if we were able to straighten it out, starting with what is it we want immigration to do for this country, the other pieces would more easily fall into line, and we would be able to deal with the best interests of not only those who are here, but those who are going to be coming in the future. The burdens that immigration puts on some of our social services are growing and becoming very significant, and they don't have to be that way.
Right. Well, agreed. And what you said leading into this is absolutely critical, Bruce, is that the whole objective, the ideal of what immigration is about has been ignored. And so now it's all about, well, let's give them goodies. Let's promote ill behavior. Let's promote things that make immigration a problem, like setting up programs where immigrants, undocumented, will come in and utilize services. For example, it's easier for them to go into the emergency room, a $1,000 visit that's not going to get paid, that's going to be absorbed by the taxpayers and goes away, than it is for them to go see a local doctor.
These kinds of contra assimilation characteristics of our current society and programs are just that. They retard the assimilation of immigrants. And one of the things that you have to have for a successful immigration policy is fairly fluid and as rapid as possible assimilation into the overall culture of the land. But because we do these things that set many immigrants, and most especially undocumented immigrants, apart, is we sort of force them into being separate and different instead of being part of the overall society. And this and many things that go along with that are a tragic effect, in my opinion, of our immigration program as it exists now, and they're not being addressed.
Right.
They're not being addressed in the rhetoric.
Well, Bruce, you've put a lot of effort in studying, history and seeing how other successful immigration policies have worked effectively. And I would dare say just even here in this country, the immigration policies of years gone by, much more effective compared to the immigration policies, say, over the last 20, 30 years here in America alone.
Well, you're right, and I show that in my book. We've actually had in this country three separate, distinct immigration policies since we began as a nation in 1789. The first one lasted from 1790 all the way to 1921, and it was essentially an open immigration policy. We had a clear objective, and that is that we needed people to come and settle this great vast land that was America. So we were truly, with a couple of exceptions to be sure, we were truly an open arms nation to immigrants, and we did things, both private industry and private concerns and the government itself did things to encourage them. The Homestead Act under President Lincoln had a very distinct immigration enticement objective as part of it. But by the time we got to the 20s, some of the nativists and others had, in the country in general, had decided that we had settled the land. We didn't need so many people. And so they changed the immigration policy to a quota system. And that was distinctly discriminatory. What they said was, we want to maintain the demographic profile of this country the way it is in 1920. So they set up quotas based on country of origin and said, we will take so many people, a lesser number than we had been taking, in.
Bruce, hold on to that. We've got more. We've got to go to a break. We've got more coming up with Bruce Thatcher on immigration. Bill Martinez here, and we're talking with Bruce Thatcher. He's the author of the book Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. Bruce, I'm sorry we ran out of time there in that first break, and I wanted to make sure that you completed that third thought and people understood, what has happened in the third phase of our immigration policy that was started, I believe you said, in the 1920s?
Well, our current immigration policy started in 1965 with the Hart-Celler Act, which ended the quota system. It also coincided with the end of the Bracero program, which operated under that system. That was an arrangement with the Mexican government to bring in every year seasonal workers to work the crops and work in other seasonal industries. Those folks then returned back to their families in the off-season and came back the next year. Very fluid, temporary immigrant kind of situation. In 1965, we were in the midst of civil rights, and the politicians decided that they wanted to impose or apply the civil rights thing that was going on in America to its immigration law. And so the Hart-Celler Act was enacted to eliminate its primary modus, eliminate all racial and ethnic discrimination in our immigration policy. And they wrote that into the law. They replaced it with what we have now, which is called a preference system. And they established a whole string of preferences. The biggest preference was for family. And in fact, something like 75% of all immigrants to America come under that preference. The kind of the hooker in it, however, is that while there were limits set on many of the categories and preferences, one area, actually more than one, but one significant area has no numerical limitation whatsoever on it. So even though the Hart-Celler Act said we're not going to increase the number of immigrants, the non-numerical limited family portion, a part of the family portion, now constitutes almost half of our total immigration. Started out as about 30,000 a year in following the act. Now it is more than 500,000 a year. 500,000 plus immigrants a year come into this country with no limitation, no numerical limitation, and based only on the criteria, for the most part, that they are related to people already in America. So they are not necessarily serving any specific economic need. They're not necessarily educated. They don't necessarily speak English. Those are the kinds of people who more likely end up being a burden on our social systems. What that thing amounts to is if you say, I want to bring in or I want to regularize 10 million undocumented immigrants, you need to understand that means that as they become legal and 5 years later become citizens, they can bring in family, and you're really talking about bringing in over the years maybe 10 or 20 million more immigrants. Exactly. And I don't think most people understand that.
Right. Well, that's the problem that you have with exceptions. You develop a policy, and certainly, this current administration deals a lot in exceptions. And you start, creating bigger problems, and you violate the principle, and you destroy the foundation of the policy that you wanted to establish to begin with. But it seems that, because of political influence, as you say, when you were studying, other nations that have been successful with with their immigration policy, you came up with three, key points, and that is that we needed to design immigration to serve unambiguous national interests, and you say there's six contradictory interests that are attempting to guide our present policy right now. Explain that.
Well, that's right. The first interest that was very clearly stated was end racial and ethnic segregation, and that's been met. That was met the day the law was passed. Some people would argue that because of the unintended consequences, we now have different kinds of racial and ethnic discrimination because of just based on the numbers that are coming in. The second was a huge preference for families, and I've just alerted that. The policy said we want to bring in and reunite families, and we're doing that. Unquestionably, we're doing that. The third preference was for economic. Now, that is people who would make a specific contribution in one way or another to economic or employment needs, specialized talents and so forth. That is only eight, that has been only 18% of immigration in the last 10 years or so. Falls under that category, and it's one of the most difficult for people to get in, and it's one of the ones where there are the longest waiting lists for people to get in. Then we added on to that a humanitarian concern, indicating that we needed to address the refugee and asylum seekers in the world, of which there's more than 180 million or 200 million. And so we put in specific provisions for bringing those people in. Finally, we had a preference, and specifically also for security. And you could tell that because the whole immigration thing was moved in 2001 to the Department of Homeland Security. It had been in the Justice Department. So those are the six. Mm-hmm. They're contradictory. They don't fit well together. And what they achieve is contradictory. I'm not saying any of them in themselves are bad, but you need to focus on what's going to be your major objective if you want to achieve it.
Well, in this case, of the 6 points, only one offers any kind of sustenance and any kind of positive contribution to the system. The others are coming in and they're absorbing, you know, services, but there's little mention of, their participation in helping to, promote an assimilation that can offset, clearly there's an expense here. And if we're going to only represent, with these six, 18% that are bringing something to the table, which to me helps offset, the investment that we're making in immigration, well, then, the number, you can see the clear contradiction just from that one point alone.
Oh, you can. And I think that what the politicians, if they were really doing it right, would begin with addressing the economic objective for immigration in this country, abolish all the preferences, require that immigrants know English when they come here and be educated when they come here, and suddenly lots and lots of these problems that we now have would go away. That's oversimplifying, but...
Right. And like you said, Bruce, we have made it more complex, and if we can get out of this bucket of gum in a way that will be win-win for we the people, and particularly immigrants coming here, to where it can be a positive assimilation, and the dream and the hope that they realize by looking at America can be fulfilled, for themselves and their family. Bruce Thatcher has been our guest. He is the author of the book, Immigration, How to Avoid Its Perils and Make It Work. This is Bill Martinez Live.